Now we're holding by the top of page 58 in Psachim, second line, middle of Ois Nunches. We were learning about Halel HaGadol, which we had three different opinions. Everybody agrees that Halel HaGadol includes Kapitel Kuf Lamed Vav, which we say in Shabbos morning davening, and which we say in Haggadah, Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov, Ki Lo'olam Chasdei, and there were other 25 psukim that continue that all end with Ki Lo'olam Chasdei. And then we had different opinions of what else is included. We had different opinions that it also includes one or two kapitlach before that. There was also, for that matter, there was an opinion that it also that Halel HaGadol is the kapitel Hashem Roi Le'echser, kapitel Chof Gimel, which I didn't mention it last time because I forgot. But Rashbam points out, since it's after benching, then it's an appropriate thing to be saying Hashem Roi Le'echser, Hashem is my shepherd, I won't lack anything. So therefore, according to that opinion, it's appropriate to be saying that at this point in the Haggadah. So anyway, the point is though that Halel HaGadol definitely includes Kapitel Kuf Lamed Vav. So either it's exclusively that kapitel or it's other kapitlach in addition. So the Loma Nikra Shmoi Halel HaGadol. Why is it called Halel HaGadol? Why Gadol? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshut Mepnei Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Berumah Shel Olam. Because Hashem sits in the heights of the world, and Hashem gives out, and Hashem apportions food to every creature. So this is a davar gadol that is as great and as high as Hashem is, that Hashem looks at even the tiniest creatures and makes sure that they have what they need. So therefore, we call it gadol in that sense. Marsha points out, by the way, now, you know, the Gemara elsewhere tells us what's so great about Ashrei, about Tehillah LeDavid, that we're supposed to say it multiple times a day, is because it has the Pasuk Peseach HaSyodecha, that Hashem opens up his hand and gives to every creature what they need. And in fact, you have the halacha, you have to have kavana in that pasuk, and if you don't, then you have to go back and say it for kavana, and that it's also according to the order of the aleph beis. So then in that case, Marsha says, Halel HaGadol doesn't have the aleph beis order. So why are we calling it Gadol? Why don't we say that we should say Ashrei at this point in the Haggadah?
I have a question. Literally, it means, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living creature, but
right.
Especially his children, us.
Yeah.
So what about the people that are hurting for a wife, hurting for a shidduch, no children, they're sick, et cetera, and a gula?
So that's something else.
Why
it's a good question. So it's a good question.
That
gets
that's happening.
That gets into the question in general of why it is that there are tzaddikim who have difficult lives and rishoyim who have comfortable lives and so forth. But basically, Hashem opens up his hand and provides. Sometimes you have what it talks about in Chassidus, for example. Sometimes you have where there's a bracha milamayla, but it doesn't come down into gashmius for various reasons. So there's that consideration for one thing. But Hashem does supply. Whether we see it in practice is another question.
Yeah, I know. No,
right.
No, only good comes from up above, but
right.
We feel the opposite.
We do. So that's a whole nother question and not really something that we can really deal with in the format of the sphere. But yeah. Anyway, so Marsha says the fort is that since Hallel, not Hallel, Ashrei runs according to the order of the Aleph Beis, and the Aleph Beis particularly is associated with Torah. Since we want to have Torah as a prerequisite for davening, as we say, so therefore it's more appropriate to be saying Ashrei, which is according to the order of the Aleph Beis, as a prerequisite before Shemini Esrei. Whereas here we're not talking about davening to Hashem so much. Here we're more praising Hashem that he does all these great things in the world. And in fact, Marsha goes on to say, when you think about it, everything in that kapitel, all is leading up to this Nosim Lechem L'chol Basar, the next to last pasuk, because you start off with Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov Ki Lo'olam Chasdei, Hodu Lo Elokeinu Elokim, Hodu Lo Adonai Ha'adonim, meaning that Hashem doesn't delegate this to Malachim and to higher power, to other great powers and whatever. Hashem personally takes care of it. So therefore, since now we're saying it after the Suda and we're saying it on a cup of wine, then this is the more appropriate kapitel to say. And then therefore, so we say it at this point, and we call it Halel HaGadol. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rebbe Shurban Levi, Hani Esrim V'Shisha Kilo. By the way, keep in mind also, I mean, Peseach HaSyodecha is mainly talking about Parnosa. Why it is that people, again, have difficulty in Parnosa is another matter, but other things that you're referring to, health and Shiduchim and things like that, those also come from Hashem, but those are not necessarily being referred to in Peseach HaSyodecha in the first place. But it's not the Iker, but that pasuk is focusing on Parnasa. There are actually, you can find Sidurim where they have Sidurim that have things with Kavonos in them. For many, many Spardish Sidurim have it, for example. They have a note over there that by the words Peseach HaSiodecha, the Sofer Tevis of the three words, spell out Ches Sof Chof Chosach, which is a name of Hashem that has to do with apportioning Parnasa. So specifically, it's a pasuk that has to do with Parnasa more than anything else. Anyway, so the Gemara says, "Amr Rabbi Shurban Levi, Hani Esther Veshisha Kilo Elam Chastoy Keneged Me." What are these 26 Kilo Elam Chastoys? Why Dafka 26? So Keneged Esther Veshisha Doris Shabara Akadosh Baruch Hu Baralamo. They correspond to the 26 generations Hashem created in His world. V'lo Nosan Lahem Torah, where Hashem didn't give them the Torah because the Torah was first given in Moshe Rabbeinu's times, and he's the 26th generation from Adam Rishon. You have Asara Doris from Adam to Noach, another 10 from Noach to Adam. So Adam is the 20th. Then you have Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kohos, Amram, and Moshe. So that brings us to 26. So in those 26 generations, Hashem hadn't yet given the Torah, v'zon oisim b'chastoy, and Hashem sustained them purely with his chesed. So therefore, we repeat 26 times, ki lo'olam chastoy, corresponding to those 26 generations. Marsha points out, first of all, then, what it means is the Gemara tells in Bava Basra that that Rebbe didn't want to give food to Amei Ha'aretz during a year of famine, because it says a person shouldn't be giving his food to an Amei Ha'aretz until one of his Talmidim pretended to be an Amei Ha'aretz and then convinced Rebbe to give him food anyway. And then it turned out that Rebbe realized that his approach is not really the right one. But anyway, the same way over here, during these 26 generations, in effect, they were Amei Ha'aretz. So Hashem, by rights, should have said, why should they be getting any sustenance from me? And yet Hashem sustained them with his chesed, so therefore 26 times. Marsha also points out, now, you know, we have in our Siddur, you look after the 10th pasuk of that capital, you have a yud printed in the Siddur, and after the five pasukim later, you have a hey and so forth, and it says in Sefer HaMenhagim that what it is during the first, when you say in the first 10 pasukim, you should have kavana on the yud of Shem Havaya, and the next five pasukim, the hey of Shem Havaya, and so forth. So Marsha relates that actually these 26 generations actually break down like the letters of Shem Havayah. First, you have 10 generations from Adam to Noach, where he finally managed to complete what the Yod of Hashem's name is all about, because up until his time, there were no goodniks, and he's the first one that created a new world. Then what you have is, you look in Parashas Noach, who's the fifth generation after Noach? Peleg. You have Shem, Arpachshad, Shelach, Aver, Peleg, and Kibi Yom of Niflaga Ha'aretz. In his times, the world was divided up because they had the Dorot HaFlaga. So at that point, you had a separation between Shem Yudke and Vovke, which now we have to Liachta Shem Yudke B'Vovke, as we say every day in Davin. So then Avraham comes five generations later, Avraham being 10 generations from Noach, so five generations after Peleg. And he started putting things back together. Therefore, in fact, he got the name Hay added to his name. Although you call it Shimcha Avram, Bahoya Shimcha Avraham with the extra Hay. And then comes another six generations. And then finally, everything was completed. And the Shekhinah was brought back down to earth. And Moshe received the Torah. So therefore, it's not just that the 26 generations, it's not just that the same gematria as Hashem's name, it actually breaks down in the same pattern, Yud, and then Hay, and then, well, then another Hay, and then above. Reflecting those different things that happened in those generations. Continues the Gemara, V'omer Rabbi Shurban Levi, or Rav Chista, is a different girsa, my dichtiv, so what does the pasuk mean, hodu l'Hashem ki toiv? The question being that, for example, why does it say hodu, Marsha explains the question is, you would expect it to say, hodu ki toiv Hashem. Why are you saying Hodu Hashem ki toiv? Because he's good. Why are you putting the toiv afterwards? The Rif over here gives a different explanation that you would expect. Maybe it should say Hodu Hashem ki toiv. You would expect it to say Hodu Hashem ki lo'olam chastoy. Why does it even have to say ki toiv in the first place? And if for whatever reason you have to say ki toiv, then it should say v'chi lo'olam chastoy. Praise Hashem, that thank Hashem because he's good and because his chesed endures forever. Why ki toiv, ki lo'olam chastoy, as though it's almost like a new thought? So we're going to learn that the word toiv over here actually refers to the good that Hashem previously gave a person. Hodu l'mi, or l'Hashem, shegoi v'choi v'osei shal odem b'toi v'osei. Hashem gets paid with his debt that a person owes him through the goodness that he previously gave the person. For example, Osher B'Shoray. For example, a rich person, it might be that he himself should be punished with Yisurim, or even worse. Instead, Hashem takes away his ox. Hashem previously gave him the wealth in the form of an ox. Now Hashem takes that away. Similarly, Oni B'Seyah, a poor person who doesn't have an ox, but he has a sheep. So Hashem can cause the sheep to die or to get sick or to get stolen or what have you. And that way, like Hashem has collected his debt from this person. A Yosin B'Beit Sasei, a Yosin may only have an egg and he loses that. Almana B'Tanu Gilta, a widow might only have a chicken. And in each case, then Hashem may clean up the person's Averis by removing that asset that Hashem previously gave them, rather than having to strike at the person themselves. You have in that connection the famous story the Medrash tells about Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, where one time he asks Eliyahu HaNavi to accompany him on his rounds, and Eliyahu tells him only if you don't ask any questions. And the first place they go to this elderly couple who are great machnisei orchem, and they treat them like royalty. And then afterwards, Eliyahu davens that their sheep, or whatever, I think it was a sheep, should die, and sure enough it does, and Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi is one cow, I think it was, whatever it was, yeah, and Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi is wondering how you talk, and that you pay him back for their generous achnosas aruch in that way. And after a few such incidents of various other things, then Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi can't hold himself back, and he asks Eliyahu what's going on, and Eliyahu tells him, I'll tell you the answer, but now we're going to have to part ways, because you can't be with me anymore if you're going to ask. And he explains same exactly that, there was a gzera that the lady of the house is going to die, and instead Hashem caused the cow is going to die instead. So that's a perfect example of what we're explaining in the Gemara over here. So that's the key toiv, that Hashem takes the goodness that he previously gave the person. So thank Hashem, that key toiv, with the good that Hashem previously gave the person, that now he takes it back, ki lo olam chaste, and that shows Hashem's chesed in how he treats people. Talking more about parnosa and how difficult it is, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, and we're saying again, we have an entire capital, Kuf Lamed Vav, which is all on this theme. Which again, we had Marsha says that the beginning of the capital, Hoydalo Lekeho Lekim, Hoydalo Adonim, Adonim, reflects that point that we're saying that Hashem doesn't delegate it to the Lekim and the Adonim. Hashem personally takes care of it. Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch makes another interesting point also. He says, if you analyze the capital, you see every posuk in it is basically a continuation of the previous one. Hodul Hashem Kitov Kilam Chaste, Hodul Lekehar Lekim, Hodul Adonai Hadonim. Who is this one? Lo Oisin Flois Vilas Lavade, Lo Oisin Hashemai Mesvona, Lo Roy Paharat Salamoyim, etc. Each thing is describing another facet of what Hashem does. Then all of a sudden you have Noisin Lechem Lechobasir. It's not Lim Noisin Lechem. It's not a continuation from the first Pasuk, thank Hashem, who is the one who gives food, but rather it's almost like an independent statement. So therefore, that's like the central point of the entire capital. Anyway, so now Amar Rabbi Yochanan Koshin Mezonosa Shel Adam Kiflayim Kayeleda. The mezonos, the a person's parnasa is twice as difficult as giving birth. Hashem tells Chava after the Chetei Tzadas that with sorrow, with pain, you're going to have children. When Hashem says to Adam that you're going to have to work for a living and then rest the parnasa from the earth, he uses the expression "beitzavoin." So Rashbam explains that "itzavoin" is mashma a double etzev. Marsha adds also the point, the langanun is a feminine plural. So it means, in other words, as much as there's a klala on the female that she has a very hard time giving birth, a man has double as much trouble making a living. And one idea of it is, in other words, Eitz Yosef points out over here that a woman is in pain from childbirth. First of all, it's not an ongoing thing, unlike making a parnosa is an ongoing tzara that a person has. And second of all, at least with the birth, you have a happiness with it. You have a new baby, whereas here you have a constant worry about it. Omer Rav Elazar, now Rav Elazar also says, Koshin min zonosef shel adam kekriyas yamsu. The mizonis, the parnosa of a person, is as difficult, so to speak, for Hashem as kriyas yamsuf. What does that mean? Rashbam says it means, in other words, that you should realize that making parnosa is a tremendous big nest. People think of it as a natural thing. You work a certain number of hours, you make a certain amount of money, and then you have money for food and other things. You should realize what a tremendous nest it is, on a par with or even greater than Kriyas Yamsuf. And therefore, in other words, a person needs to be actually asking Hashem for Rachmanus, that he should be successful and not just take it for granted. There are many other different explanations. What it means, in what sense is Parnassa more difficult than Kriyas Yamsuf? Among them is a couple of Mefarshim over here bring up the point that by Kriyas Yamsuf, we know that the Midas Adin was arguing why should the Jews deserve to be saved? Halolo Avodizara, Halolo Avodizara, and Hashem had to, so to speak, overrule that in order to save the Jews and drown the Mitzrayim. Well, by Parnassa, it's even more so, because again, you have a lot of people who by rights shouldn't deserve to have a Parnassa, and Hashem gives it to them anyway. So therefore, so it's, so to speak, more difficult for Hashem to override that. There's other points as well that Hashem has to, so to speak, reveal more of his plans for the world in that way, things that Hashem would rather keep secret. He has to reveal more, and therefore that's also, so to speak, more difficult for Hashem. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Noisim lechem l'chol baser v'samich le goes yamsuf l'gzorim. Earlier in that same capital, you have Kriyas Yamsuf. So therefore, we see that Noisim Lechem L'chol Baser, which is mentioned later in the capital, is even more important than Kriyas Yamsuf. Now, what do you mean, Marsha says, what do you mean, some of Somakle? They're like a dozen psukim apart. I mean, you could say by the same thing, that it's Koshin Mezenosev are like creating heaven and earth, or like Marcus Mechorus and all the various other Nisim that are mentioned in that capital. So Marsha leaves the question open. In the back of the Gemara, there's one of the Mephoshim called Chochmas Manoyach, one of the early Achronim, a generation or so after Marsha. He says that if you look at the sequence in the capital, he says, when you think about it, earlier in the capital you have things that are derech hatev, things that happen on an ongoing basis. Lo isa shemayim b'svuna, lo isa shemesh l'mavshel s'bayim, asay reyach l'chavim l'mavshel s'balola. You would expect that the noisim lechem l'chol baser being a teva dikha thing would go over there. Instead, it goes after all the catalog of nisim that Hashem did. Therefore, to stress that it's greater than all those nisim, and out of all those nisim, what was the greatest? What was the one that most broke teva was Kriyas Yamsuf. So therefore, that's what the Gemara means, that it's greater than that, in the sense it's placed after that whole list of nisim, culminating with Kriyas Yamsuf. V'amar Rabbi Lazar, or Rabbi Yochanan, koshin mezonosav shel adam yosim min ha-ge'ula. A person's mezonos, a person being given parnasa, is even more difficult, again, so to speak, difficult for Hashem, like to override his usual plans, more than ge'ula. We don't necessarily mean the ge'ula of the entire Jewish people. Here we mean the ge'ula that an individual has from his tzaris, which is basically the theme of the bracha re'eino v'anyeinu in Shemana Esrei. That bracha we talked about the other day in the Gemara, that we end with the bracha Goyal Yisrael, whereas the one before Shemana Esrei and the one at the end of Magid is Goyal Yisrael. Here we're talking about the ongoing ge'ula that Hashem constantly saves a person from all his personal troubles. Anyway, so we're saying mizonos, so even more difficult, so to speak, for Hashem than that. And we find Yaakov says the Malach who saved me from every bad situation, which means Malach Ba'alma, Hashem can, so to speak, just delegate that to a Malach to save the person. In the previous pasuk, Yaakov refers to Hashem who sustained me, implying that it's Hashem himself. And we know the Mafteach Shel Geshamim, the key of rain, which is the basic source of Parnasa, is directly in Hashem's hands. So therefore, so Mezonos is, so to speak, something that Hashem reserves for himself, and that it's, so to speak, more difficult for Hashem than something that he can delegate to a subordinate, to a Malach. And then similarly, actually, Marsha points out, it applies also to the national geula of the Jewish people. In Olam Hazeh, you had previously Umalach, we have the pasuk that we say in morning davening, Umalach Ponav Hashiyam. Now Hashem sent a Malach, the Malach of his presence to save them. Whereas then when it comes to the geula, La'asid Lover, that's different. There the same pasuk continues, Ba'avosir V'chem Lase Hu Geulam, that Hashem himself, not through a Malach, will take us out of this current galus. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, going back to this matter of Parnosa and this matter of that we said Hashem told Adam, be sovereign techlana, that you're going to have a tremendously difficult time making a living. When Hashem tells Adam that the ground is going to grow thorns and thistles for you, which, by the way, the Medrash says it doesn't just mean thorns and other inedible plants like that. It includes also certain plants that actually can be used for food, but which come with thorns and spikes on them. The Medrash gives, as an example, artichokes. You can't eat them, but they're spiky and you have to prepare them. Agav, by the way, you have a different problem with artichokes is the problem with bugs, which is why you won't find artichoke hearts. In particular, you won't find them with a reliable hechsher. They're too difficult on a commercial scale to clean from bugs. If you want to eat them individually, you'd have to, you know, there's a lot of processing that goes into it. But anyway, so when Hashem tells this to Adam Rishon, Zogu Ein of Demois, his eyes were flowing with tears. Omar, the fun of, he says to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, am I and the donkey going to eat out of the same trough? In other words, if I'm going to be eating Esav Asada, the grass, the herbs of the field, the same way as the donkeys, so Marsha says, in other words, Adam was concerned that now he's going to, now Hashem is saying, your mentality is going to be like no better than the mentality of a donkey. Because after all, a person, you are what you eat. So therefore, if a person eats animal food, then he becomes more animal-like. As compared to, for example, the Gemara elsewhere tells us that a person eats bread that brings him das. A cotton doesn't have the das to say, to speak until he eats wheat bread and so forth. So Adam was concerned about that, was crying about that. But Hashem then told him, with the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. Then he calmed down and he realized that Hashem is not intending that he and the animals are going to eat the same food, but rather that he's going to be on a higher level and have a more refined kind of food, more appropriate to his refined state. So Rish Lakish says, you know, we're very fortunate that we didn't remain with that original thing. If we had tacked to remain with V'chalta es Eis V'asada, then yeah, we'd be no better than the animals. However, Abaya says we haven't completely escaped that. After all, there are certain herbs that we eat naturally as is, and in that sense, we are eating food similar to the animals. So we're not completely out of it, but we have specific human food as well. Marsha brings a different girsa that you had in older. So the girsa that we have in the printed Gemara is Nashrenu Shaloya Madnu Marishon. The girsa that Ein Yaakov has, which Marsha says you can also find in older manuscripts of the Gemara, is Ashrenu Im of Madnu Marishon. We would have been better off if we remained with the original. So then Marsha says, according to that, Rish Lakish is saying, Halavai, we would have remained with the original situation before the Chet Eitz Hadas, where Parnosa is so easy. They can eat that they can eat whatever they want except for the Eitz Hadas, and they get it without Tircha. So then Abaya is saying that the fact is there are some things. Hashem still gives us a certain degree of that, in that there are certain plants that we can eat naturally without a lot of Tircha involved. So according to that, Gira said, in other words, it's the other way around. Rish Lakish is saying that if only we still had that way of being able to eat things without Tircha, and Abaya is saying the fact is we still do have some, whereas the newer Gira says, you find in printed Gemaras, is the other way around, that Rish Lakish is saying it's a good thing we didn't keep with that Zera of Evachalta, it's Eis Vasada, and Abaya is saying we're still not completely free of that because there are certain herbs that we eat. Okay. More about the difficulty of a person's mezonos. Omer of Shizbi Meshum Rabbi Lozman Azaria. Koshim is a noise social adam Kriyas Yamsuf. Like we said before, a person's parnasa is as difficult as Kriyas Yamsuf, which, as the Rashbam said, that means that a person should realize it's a tremendous nest from the Eibishter and daven for rachman for it and never take it for granted. Now, before we learned it from the psukim in Havel HaGadol. Now he says we have a different source for learning that pasuk. Shenema, the pasuk says in Yeshaya, it's an aftorah, it's one of the aftorahs of Shivat and Nechemta, the aftorah of Ekev, I think. Mihar tsoya li paseach v'goymer. The tsoya is quick to open up. Tsoya has a few different meanings. One of them is it means the prisoner. So the prisoner is quick to open up. V'lo yechsa lachman. The pasuk continues, his bread won't be lacking. And in fact, now, and the uchsiv, and the next uchsiv basra, and the next pasuk continues, v'anochi Hashem alekecha roiga hayom v'yehem ugalam. I am Hashem, your God, who stirred up the sea and its waves were crashing. So referring to the Kriyas Yam, so when the waves are crashing, ready to crash down at any moment and drown everybody, and Hashem is holding them back for Kriyas Yam. So we see the Pasuk is comparing that to V'lo Yech Salachmo, that a person is not lacking bread.
What does it mean that a prisoner is quick to open up?
In other words, Hashem is quick to open up the prisoner when Hashem decides it's time for him to go. But now we're going to see another meaning of this Mi'ar Tzori Le'Paseach. So that also you have Noisin Lacham Luchabasa, but some of the goes Yamsuf Lixorim, like we said before, that you have the Pasuk in Halla Gadol, that Hashem provides food to everybody, to all flesh, and also that Hashem split the Yamsuf. So for Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, or on the bottom over here, it says that there were other printed editions where the Gir says, Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Koshin Mizanoisa, or Nekovev, Shal Adam Kiyem Amisa. When a person has trouble with his orifices, when a person can't go to the bathroom, he's constipated, that is as difficult as the day when a person dies. Shenema miyot tsoya lipaseach v'lo yomus lashachas, because the pasuk continues, and that same pasuk says the tsoya is quick to open up v'lo yomus lashachas, so he won't die and go down to the grave. So the point is, Marashah says the word soya, Mephoshim on the pasuk explained that the word soya, among other things, can be a prisoner. So therefore, it can mean the person who's in prison, bound up, and can't defecate. But here also, Marashah says we're doushing in the word soya with an ayin, as if it was soya with an aleph. So miot soya li paseach, the soya is quick to exit and to go out, and therefore v'lo yamos l'shachas, therefore the person won't die, implying that as long as he's constipated, then he's on what he's experiencing is a semblance of misa. And again, the point would be, in other words, that when a person is in that situation, not just, you know, he should be taking medicine for it, but more to the point, he should be davening to the Eibishter to be saved from that situation. And it also means, you know, when a person is saying Asher Yotzer, when things are working normally, you should have in mind the chesed of the Eibishter, that everything is working normally when you consider how many people for whom it doesn't, so for Omer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, caution the cut of Shalom, Kiyam Amisa, Uki Kriyas Yamsuf. In fact, this business of a person's openings, being able to go to the bathroom, is as difficult, so to speak, difficult for Hashem to arrange, like Yom HaMissa and like Kriyas Yamsuf. Because again, we have the comparison. He won't go down into the grave. And then Hashem, it talks about Hashem stirring up the sea and the waves of it are crashing. So we see, in other words, that there's a comparison between Mi'at Soya Lipaseach, where Hashem allows the Tsoya to open up and go forth freely, and there's a comparison with Yom HaMissa, and a contrast with Yom HaMissa and with Kriyas Yamsuf. So we see that having Nekovim work normally, and like we say in the Bracha, and everything works properly, is as great a ness as Kriyas Yamsuf, and as great as when a person is saved from death.
When it's not working properly,
then we're saying that's similar to it's a semblance of death. Caution to Yom HaMissa. And then when it does...
Leading paralyzed to wake you up.
Yeah. Some more drushes, since we're mentioning drushes of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on Pesukim. So the Gemara brings another one. Amr of Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, call him a Vazeh as a Moedos. Anybody who disrespects the Moedos. The Rashbam explains that it means that he does Malacha on Chol HaMoed. Now you have, of course, the rules in that are discussed mainly in Masech the Moed Katan of what you're allowed and not allowed to do during Chol HaMoed. There are certain categories of work and certain circumstances of work that you're allowed to, but otherwise a person stam just works on Chol HaMoed as if it was a weekday. That's called Mevazeh HaMoedus. The Rambam gives another explanation of it. It means that he doesn't honor Yom Tovim with sudas, with food and drink. Anyway, such a person, ke'ilu oved avodah zarah, is as if he's worshipping avodah zarah, and we see that also from a smichus of psukim. Shenemar, the ke'masecha loisasaloch, the pasuk says, in actually, this is the kriya that we read on Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, Pesach, and Sukkos. It says, don't make for yourself gods out of molten metal. Och debasres, chag hamatzes tishmer, and the next pasuk continues, observe the chag hamatzes. Which actually from there is one of the psukim that we learn the concept of not working on Chol HaMoed. So we see that there's a connection between them. What is the connection? Marashah explains elsewhere. This Gemara is also in Makkos. He explains, you see, for example, you see with Yeravam, he changed the date of Sukkos. He made, and once he set up the Egla Azov, that there's going to be a Yom Tov of Sukkos instead of on the 15th of Tishrei, he put it on the 15th of Cheshvan, and that was associated with his setting up of a Dezara in Eretz Yisrael. So one thing leads to the other, because the Yom Tovim, after all, are times to acknowledge that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us the Torah and so forth. So when a person desecrates and disrespects those Yom Tovim, then already he's on the road to Avodah Zarah, to denying that Hashem runs anything in the world at all. Anybody who speaks Lashon Hara, or whether he accepts it, meaning that he accepts that it's true, which is a wrong thing. Now, the Rashbam points out, based on a Gemara in Nidya, a person shouldn't accept uncritically that it's true. He should be choishish for it, though. The Gemara mentions in Nidya, for example, that Gedalia ben Achikam, when he was told that Yishmael ben Nesanya is gunning for him, he should have at least taken precautions, and the fact that he didn't, Pasuk blames him for that, for the fact that he ended up getting assassinated, and all of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael before ended up leaving and moving to Mitzrayim, and terrible things happen and whatever. Adi Amazeh, of course, we have some Gedalia to commemorate that. In a way, it was Gedalia's fault for not at least taking precautions when he's told that Yishmael ben Nesanya is coming for him.
I thought
Achille
isn't supposed to listen to it at all.
Ah, so the vote is, that's what the Gemara says over there. Lekabuli, you're not supposed to accept it that it's true. However, lemeichash miboya, but you should take precautions just in case it is true.
I thought you just told the guy, listen, I don't want to have Lashon.
So now you know that. So now you know that it's not so simple. There is an entire sefer on the halachas of Lashon Hara, the famous sefer Chofetz Chaim, and you learn that sefer, and you go into, you find a lot of these details that people don't commonly know.
Yeah. 40 years ago already.
Yeah. So now when a person, though here we're saying when he's mekabel Lashon Hara, meaning that he accepts it uncritically, or if he testifies falsely against another yid, all those cases, he deserves to be thrown to the dogs. And Marsha explains elsewhere, it means particularly his body deserves to be thrown to the dogs after he dies. He said, the Pasuk says that today for meat you throw to the dog. And the next Pasuk says, don't bear a false report, which kori be lois sisa, but kori be lois sasi, you can read the word as lois sisa. You should not bear it, meaning you should not be telling Lashon Hara, Eidus Sheker, and also lois sasi, you should not cause it to be told, namely when you makabal it, when a person is makabal Lashon Hara, then it encourages the other person to say it more. Rashbam actually says maybe we shouldn't be goodest these words lois sasi, because it's really not necessary. Lois sisa all by itself includes that a person shouldn't be speaking or accepting Lashon Hara or saying Eidus Sheker. You don't really need an al tikri in order to douche in this point. Anyway, what's the connection? Ion Yaakov points out over here, we find the dogs by Tzias Mitzrayim didn't bark. They knew how to hold their tongues. So therefore, this character over here doesn't know, these characters that we're describing in the Gemara, they don't know how to hold their tongue. Therefore, they deserve to be eaten by the dogs. Agav, by the way, worth mentioning a very interesting point that one of the Mefarshim, I think it's the Chizkuni, says on why does the Torah say Lakelev Tashlichu Noisei by Tirei for meat? So the standard explanation we're all familiar with from Rashi is just that. They were quiet, right? It's Mitzrayim, so the Eibishter says reward them. One of the Mefarshim, I think it's the Chizkuni, says a very interesting point also. He says, you know, people use dogs as sheep dogs to help watch and take care of their sheep. So then, and the dog, among other things, you know, there are constantly wolves and other dangers that the dog goes on a dog's version of Mesiras Nefesh and goes and fights them off. So what happens once in a while? It happens that the dog doesn't manage to, and a wolf comes in and tears up a sheep, and there you have Tzedefa. So the shepherd is apt to say, well, why should I reward the dog with the meat from it? After all, he failed at the job. Abed, the Torah is telling him, show a little gratitude for the fact all the other times that the dog put its life on the line to save your sheep, and reward it by giving him this one time, even though he messed up, but reward him and give him the meat. Okay. So the Gemara asks, v'chime'acha de'ika halal ha'godah. Now, given that we have Halal HaGadol, and we just said how important it is, that it focuses on the fact that Hashem gives food to every creature, and not my time, I mean, and high. So, Taka, why do we ever say the regular Halal HaMitzvi, the one that we say on Yom Tovim, and as we learned before, Al Kol Tzara Shaloi Tovei Al Tzibur, and so forth. So why don't we always just say Halal HaGadol? The answer is, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Pnei Sheyesh B'Chamisha Dvarim, because there are five fundamental things that are described in Halal HaMitzvi that are important for us to keep in mind. Elohim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, or Kriyas Yamsuf, or Matan Torah, or Tchias HaMesim, V'chevloi Shal Mashiach, the troubles that are going to be before Mashiach comes. Marsha points out, when you think about it, so we have the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the Rambam, those Yud Gimel Ikrim, now not all Rishonim agreed, by the way, that those are the Ikrim of Yiddishkeit. Some argued there should be more, some argued less. The Sefer Ikrim says they basically boil down into three main Ikrim. That Hashem exists, that Hashem gave us a Torah, and that Hashem rewards and punishes. All the 13 Ikrim, he says, can be seen to be branches of those. So now, Maharshal says, of the five things we're listing over here, Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuk show that Hashem exists and that he runs the world and can alter Teva as he wishes. Matan Torah is exactly that Hashem gave us Torah min Hashemayim. Tchias HaMesim we have, this is the fourth thing over here, Tchias HaMesim, is Tchias HaMesim, and Chevle Mashiach refer to the reward and punishment, the fact that Hashem rewards people, and if they didn't have their full reward in Olam Hazeh, and they come back for Tchias HaMesim, and Chevle Mashiach refers to the fact that you have a person, so he explains actually the pasuk in Halo, we have Hemanti ki adabra ani anisimoid, ani amarti b'chofsi kol adam koziv. So he explains the psukim mean like this: Hemanti ki adabra, I thought that I automatically deserve tchias hamesim because ki anisimoid, because I went through terrible tzaris in this world, and then ani amarti b'chofsi, then I thought in my haste, you know what, everybody's going to be zoichate, but no, kol adam koziv, that's not true, that's not, because not everybody is zoicha to olam hazeh and to olam haba, the rosha already receives it in this world. So therefore, this matter of Chevle Mashiach is also part of the system of reward and punishment that Hashem has. So therefore, these five ideas that we're mentioning over here encapsulate in them the three fundamental ideas of Yiddishkeit from which branch out all the Yud Gimel. So where do we see it? It's Mitzrayim, Tichtiv, Betzeis Yisroel, Mitzrayim. Kriyas Yamtuf, Tichtiv, Ayom, Ra, Vayonis. The sea saw that the Oren of Yosef in particular and ran away and then split. Matan Torah, Tichtiv, Ahorim, Rok, Ducha, Elim, Gvoris, Kivnei Tzoyin. The passage continues. The mountains danced like rams and the hills like young sheep. That refers to, for example, when by Matan Torah, where we know where the different mountains came, each one arguing, the Tover and Caramel in particular, and arguing that the Torah should be given on me, and Hashem chose Har Sinai, so those words, Horim Rok Duchelim, is referring to that event. I'll walk before Hashem in the lands of the living. So Maharsha points out, in the plural, refers to Olam Hazeh as well as Olam Haba. So we have Tchias HaMesim is referred to. And Chevle Shamashiach, Dichtiv Loilonu Hashem Loilonu V'Gomer. We say, don't do it for our sake, Hashem, not for our sake. But L'Shim Chatein Kovet, that's referring to Mochemes Gog and Magog and the various other troubles that precede the time of Mashiach that were asking Hashem to save them from him, from his schus. V'Amar Rav Yechanan, Loilonu Hashem Loilonu Zur Shibud Golius. This refers to the fact that we're enslaved to the Goyim in Golus, so we're asking Hashem to save us from that in order to prevent a further chil Hashem. Ikadamri Toni or Amar Rav Yechanan, Loilonu Hashem Loilonu Zur Mochemes Zem Mochemes Gog and Magog. That it refers on a more particular level to Mochemes Gog and Magog. That again, we're asking Hashem, we may not have the schusim to be saved from it, but Hashem should save it from us in the schus of His name. So those are five fundamental ideas in Hallel. The Gemara continues, Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar, here's another point, a fundamental point which you have in Hallel, which you don't have in Hallel HaGadol, which is what brought us into this discussion, you have the concept that the Rishoyim, or that the Tzadikim, rather, that the Neshamas of Tzadikim are saved from Gehenim. Shenema on Hashem Malta Nafshi. David says, please Hashem, save my soul. So this is also a very fundamental point that we need to stress, and therefore we say that, and not Hallel HaGadol. Another point is in Hallel HaMitzri, you have the concept of tzaddikim going into the fiery furnace and coming out of it. This open nest that happened to Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, and to Avraham Avinu, which we need to highlight. Because when it says loylanu Hashem loylanu, and that's referring to what went on when they're being thrown into the furnace. So the words loylanu Hashem loylanu omer Chananya, ki l'shim chatein kovod omer Mishael. Mishael continues with the words ki l'shim chatein kovod, and when it continues omer al chasta chaval amitecha, he asks that Hashem should do it for his chesed and for his truth, Omer Azariah. So those words Azariah said. And when it continues in the pasuk, Lomer Yom Ragoyim, Omru Kulam, all of them said that. So Maharshal explains, since you have repetition in the pasuk, then we're understanding that each one of them set a different point, and then the point is they're saying Lama Yomra Goyim, all the Goyim who are watching them being thrown into the furnace, and the Nebuchadnezzar who ordered them to be thrown in the first place. Why should they think that Hashem Ayeinu Elokeihem, and therefore Hashem should save us? And in fact, later on in the capital, it continues that Sabe Agoyim Kesef Bezav and so forth, referring to there's the statue of gold and gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar wanted us to bow to, and we refuse, and that's why we're being thrown into the furnace. And that statue is nothingness, so therefore Hashem should save us from having been thrown into the fire because of that.
Didn't the Rebbe say we already had the war of Gog and Magog?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. That's the Rebbe still talk about World War II being Machamas Gog and Magog. Yeah. Yeah, it should be Shaloi Amanas Lasses Nest, but they're still entitled to ask Hashem for a nest. They should just depend on it as a given that it's going to happen. They tell Nebuchadnezzar exactly that. Nebuchadnezzar says, what you think, you think Hashem can save you from me? And they say, Hashem can save us, but whether he does or not, we're going there. Ion Yaakov, by the way, points out that each of the names over here refers to what they're asking for in the pasuk. Chananya is Maloshin China, Chanina, Matnas Chinam. So he's saying, Lo Ilonu Hashem, not in Arzchus. Mishael, which is Maloshin She'ela, he says, Ki Lashim Chaten Kovet, we ask that Hashem should give honor to his name. And Azaria, which means Hashem helps, asks, Al Chastacha Alamitecha, that Hashem should help us with his great chesed and with his great chesed and rach. So therefore, so all of that then is encapsulated in the posuk in the hin halal, and therefore halal is an important thing to say. And then, so we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with more about psukim in halal that was said by Hanani Mishael Vazaria on that occasion. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Zayin Cheshvin. So the Rebbe was talking about the greatness of Kiddush Levana. Chazal tell us, as we know, we say in Kiddush Levana that when a person is benches the Chodesh in its time, kila makabel pnei shechina, because in Golos we're not able. So Meforshim explained, because in Golos we're not able to be zoicha v'roya pnei shechina. We're distant from being able to see the shechina. But when we see the renewal of the moon, that's a simon for the Jewish people that we will be renewed and refreshed like it. Lefer leYotzrim, that will be able to praise and glorify Hashem by receiving by welcoming the Shechinah. So therefore, when we bench the Chodesh Bizmanai, then it's actually a simon that Shehem Asidim Sadash Kamosa, and it's as if we're Makabel Pnei Shechinah, and therefore that's the greatness of Kiddush Levana. Continuing with halachas of Shabbos, we were talking about what you're allowed and not allowed to have a goy do for you on Shabbos. So far we mentioned a number of criteria that you need in order to have a goy do work for you on Shabbos. We said it has to be that he takes it out of your house before Shabbos, that you establish before Shabbos how much you're going to pay him. The next thing was it has to be that you're not hiring him by the day or by the hour, but rather you're hiring him by the job. Another point is also that you can't tell him specifically that he should be doing the work on Shabbos, or to give it to him in a way where he, for example, you tell him I need it right after Shabbos, and there's no way he's going to be able to do it unless he does the malacha on Shabbos. So he gives examples over here. Let's say, for example, you're sending a letter with a courier and telling him it has to be by such and such a date, and the only way he's going to make it there would be traveling on Shabbos. And other examples, for example, you want a goy to go buy something for you by a fair where you know they're only selling it on Shabbos, different things like that. A modern example would be, let's say, you bring in your car to a place to repair, and you tell them you need it right after Shabbos, and you bring it to them shortly before Shabbos, let's say, and you tell them I need it right after Shabbos, and there's no way they're going to be able to do it unless they actually do the malacha on Shabbos. So such a thing would be also. Now there is, you give it to him on Erev Shabbos, and you give it to him earlier, and you don't tell him to do it on Shabbos, so then that's less of an issue, because then he could do it before Shabbos or after Shabbos, as the case may be. If he chooses then to do it on Shabbos, that's his business, that's not your concern. I'm Kanan, I'm in a Kachem, I'm a Tzor, Kodesh, Baruch, Zachary, Sisrael,